Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you. We got a lot of DFS, which is going to be a common theme on the show, which we love.
Yeah.
Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm hitting the NFL.
And it's not just chalk plays either. We're really digging deep.
He needs to explain himself.
No, but he asked me.
Osweiler.
He said, you know, I could go chalk or I could give you some under the radar type plays. He gave me like four or five at each position. So there's a lot of guys that Howard's feeling this weekend, but we are really digging deep.
Zenner.
That's what it's all about. And
it is.
GPP.
Especially with the six buys this week and next week.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do some NBA DFS between Chris and myself. We're bound to get something, right? We're digging deep there, too. And we're going to give you some strategy also about targeting players in certain situations and something that if you're new to the game, you might not be used to it. So we're going to try and help you out there. But first, news and notes. We're starting off with Dante Moncrief, who's expected to practice after not playing since week two with a shoulder injury.
Yes. Hopefully. Welcome back, Dante Moncrief. It's been a while. I need you. I got you all over the place, almost on every single fantasy team. So if you, for whatever reason, if he's hanging around your waiver wire, you go ahead and you get him. We've been talking about him a couple weeks now about being available on your wire. So Moncrief expected back at practice today. As you mentioned, Ashley hasn't played, you know, since suffering that injury earlier in the season, shoulder. You know, he was dealing with a couple different injuries, but maybe we expect him back this weekend. Haven't really heard much, but if he gets back on the football field today as a nice practice, gets another one in Thursday, then maybe we could see him this weekend against the Chiefs. Already had a couple of questions, you know, if Moncrief plays this weekend, should I play him? It's like, yeah, you should.
You should
play him. You know, that's just a nice weapon for Luck to get back in that offense. And it's all about context. I mean, if you're in a 10-man league and you have awesome wide receivers, then maybe you don't play Moncrief. So it's all about who you have and who you don't. But let's put it this way. I would play him over a guy like Alshon Jeffery, even though he's probably not as 100% as Alshon Jeffery is. If Alshon Jeffery's 100%, I don't even know. But that's a tough matchup against Minnesota.
Well, here's the thing. The worry is that they're going to rush him back too soon because they have their problems. They have Dwayne Washington, who's dealing with an ankle injury. Theo Riddick missed a game. One of those two is expected back this week, however. And then you have Philip Dorsett, who's dealing with a hamstring injury. So we're not sure on his status. So as a team, they need him.
Yeah.
As a fantasy guy, you want him in your lineup if he's healthy. And then someone else that's coming back, Jeremy Langford. He's dealing with an ankle injury. He's back after four games. He's expected to practice on Wednesday, which means potential running back by committee, which we hate because you have Jordan Howard, you have Kadeem Carey, who kind of came into his own the last couple of weeks. And so this situation is just something that's going to be very interesting to see. In his two full games, Langford had 28 rush attempts, 85 yards, and two touchdowns during that time, but the whole narrative was that Howard was slowly gaining on him, going to take away his snaps, going to take away his touches, and eventually take away his fantasy value.
But and then that's what Kadeem Carey was doing.
The twist is Kadeem Carey did to Howard. So it's just like one up. Is it a big inter-team competition over there in Chicago, and it makes it a whole situation to kind of come to breaks, avoid.
It's not a great situation. I mean, a lot of people are down on Howard. You know, talking to Jake Slee a couple weeks ago, you know, when Howard had, you know, flirted with 50 touches in two games, you know, is this guy an RB1, a top 10? Like, let's pump the brakes here a little bit with Jordan Howard. But last week was a tough matchup against Green Bay. I think that's why we saw more Kadeem Carey. He was just better in that game, and they were just giving him more opportunities. This is another tough matchup against
Minnesota.
I wouldn't play any of these guys, even if they were healthy. It's not a great matchup. Then I believe they're on a bye, so maybe it's going to take probably, you know, two or three weeks for this situation to sort itself out. But if Howard is available, or if Langford's available on your wire, you go ahead and you pick him up, and you just kind of hope that one of these guys, you know, takes the job and runs with it. But again, all three.
Get it? Because
like
they're
that?
Running backs. Takes
I didn't
the
know
jobs.
If you got it. But yeah, all
so
three
funny.
Of them, not great. Not great situation.
Maybe wait to play them until the Bucks, after the bye.
After the bye, maybe one of them can, you know, again, take
establish
the job.
Themselves and run away with it.
Running back.
Someone who hasn't been running, Deion Lewis, because of his knee. He's on the PUP.
He might be running this week.
Probably not, honestly.
Might be running this week.
He's expected back at practice this week. Once he does hit the field, the Patriots have 21 days to decide what they're going to do with him, if they're going to reinstate him onto the roster and have him eligible to play this year. It's kind of a scary situation for anyone. Like, I own him on a team.
Well,
it was a deep league, and you're just kind of the wait and see type of thing. thing. But I'm still not 100% sure what you're going to get from this guy, and I'm ready to drop him, quite
frankly. Well, don't do that yet.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to, but I can't just drop him after this long, and I haven't seen anything from him.
And that's true.
What's the point in that?
And everyone's been waiting for him. Again, this is another guy. If he's available in your wire, you go ahead and pick him up, and you just hope that he comes back and he does anything close to what he did last year with Brady. In those first 6 weeks last year with Brady, he was awesome. He's one of the top running backs in the game. Even in standard leagues, you can get behind playing him. But this is bad news for a guy like James White. James White now 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games with Brady. The first 2 games he had 15 targets. He was just catching a lot of balls in that backfield, making things happen. And so this is really tough news if you own James White. I'd think about maybe, you know, what could you get for James White? Maybe you can trade him and get something. Because Deion Lewis is because Deion Lewis is most likely going to come back and be involved and very talented. So that will cut into James White. But maybe he also suffers a setback. He could suffer a setback.
But for both of them, so
and James White could be good.
They're good the Bills this week. So he's not Lewis is not expected to play against the Bills.
Week.
And then they got a bye. And then they go against Seattle, which is also tough.
Tough.
So
it is tough, but much like James White, very similar backs, and not a guy that's gonna really go through the tackles or just a guy that's gonna catch some balls. PPR boost. So it's a wait and see. But if you were to get Deion Lewis of last year near the fantasy football playoff time, you have yourself arguably a top 20 back if he is
If he's healthy.
Yeah, if he does exactly what he did last year.
You know who's healthy?
LeBron James.
Triple-double last night. The first time someone has done that in a season opener since 2006.
It was
Jason Kidd, I believe.
Yes.
LeBron James, great game, very good production in minimal time, which is good for owners who drafted him early, because there was some talk that his fantasy value would be diminished this year because he won't be playing the same amount of minutes, because the Cleveland Cavaliers are expecting themselves to make a late postseason run and they want to save his legs for that time. But if you're going to get a triple-double in 30 minutes, wow. You shouldn't be surprised by the things he does, but he keeps surprising us.
I'm never surprised. I was a little bit surprised when they came back 3-1 in the Warriors. I won't lie there. I was pretty shocked. Back-to-back 40-point nights, triple-double in Game 7. So I'm not surprised, but the one thing with LeBron, as you said, Ashley, it's just he rests. And these games get blown out. I mean, they crushed the Knicks last night. He didn't really even touch the floor in the second half of that ball game. So 32 minutes total, 30 minutes, a triple-double. That's good news. Kyrie was good. Skip Bayless just trolling LeBron James. Like, come off of it, bud. He's tweeting like, oh, look, Kyrie Irving, so clutch, going to be MVP this year. That's just a shot at LeBron James. He's not even the best player on the team. Like, Kyrie is great. They compliment each other awesomely.
Yes.
But, like, let's relax. LeBron James is good. I don't know why there's so many haters out there on LeBron. I thought that would die after what he did last year.
Yeah.
I didn't think that there would be haters. And already, game one of the NBA season, there's haters already on LeBron James. And it just really bugs me.
And you have to understand that when other players around LeBron James do well, 98% of the time it's because LeBron James is facilitating or allowing for it.
Exactly.
Or taking a backseat, which is something we talked about. Even Kevin Love, double-double, 23 points, 12 rebounds, 3 steals, and he led the team in deflections, which means he's doing that dirty work, getting his defense on, and just being a contributor on both ends of the floor, just like Mr. Kawhi Leonard, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Only a minute to get through the rest of this, but Kawhi was fantastic last night, 35-5-3, had 5 steals. I mean, this is a guy who was drafted ahead of LeBron James in fantasy drafts for a reason. He's going to be the man there this year. There's no Tim Duncan. This is his team. Tony Parker is basically done as well. Manu Ginobili is also basically done. So Kawhi Leonard.
Jonathan Simmons.
Jonathan Simmons. I mean, if you had Simmons last night in DFS, you probably were very successful. He had the big 4, even though Curry had a bit of an off game. It was okay. It was more so Clay. And we saw that coming. I mean, Clay's probably going to have a disappointing fantasy season. Only 11 points. But
he had a lot of shot opportunities.
Let's calm down.
12 opportunities.
The Spurs went in there and spanked the Warriors, by the way.
Could you believe this?
Crushed them.
The Pacers traded Kawhi Leonard as a rookie for George Hill.
Yeah. Yikes.
It's tough.
George Hill. He had an okay game last night, too.
He's fine.
Yeah, he was all right. But, like, let's not panic, though.
He's
The big three with Miami, when they were formed as a team, they lost their first game opening night. They only scored 80 points. They started off that season 8-9. So I actually do expect a little bit of chemistry issues with the Warriors and that basketball team. And also a shout-out to Damian Lillard, who was great.
39 points. And a shout-out. I don't know if we have the tweet. to a former MLB pitcher, Dan Heron. He's watching the World Series last night.
Everything's happening in Cleveland right now.
Everything's happening in Cleveland. He's watching the World Series 2 years ago. I beat Corey Kluber 1-0. Today, I walked my two pugs while wearing a Pug Life t-shirt. Life comes at you fast.
He's awesome.
Yeah, man, it does.
And Dwayne Wade, by the way, we're getting out of here, but Dwayne Wade and LeBron James do have a bet. Whoever wins the World Series will wear the opposing team. So if Cleveland was to wear the World Series, Dwayne Wade would rock. There it is there. He's talking about it. Dwayne Wade would rock Cleveland Indians baseball get up to the basketball game and
like
vice versa.
Like a baseball uniform.
The uniform.
Not even
like
just
the socks,
apparel.
The pants, the hat,
helmet.
The ball cap, everything. And then if the Cubs win, LeBron James will have to do that in his first trip. Where the Cavs go into Chicago to play the Bulls.
That's in December.
I'm looking forward to that.
This is Fantasy Sports Today, and it's DFS NFL time. So we got to bring in one of our favorites and a fan favorite and just an all-around mediocre guy, Howard Bender. Hi, Howard.
Wow. It was such a great buildup and then a complete letdown. It kind of sounds like what my wife says about me, but that's all right.
Fair enough. It's probably what a lot of people are saying about Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brock Osweiler these days, but we are going to talk some DFS NFL, and we didn't really want to talk too much chalk with you. We really wanted to dig deep and looking at GPPs, some tournament plays. I mean, somebody won $1 million when Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 7 touchdowns a couple seasons ago. What are you thinking about these two guys, and are you confident with playing them in DFS this weekend?
I mean, I'll play them in DFS as long as it is a GPP. I'm not going to use either of these guys in cash games, but I mean, you have to love these matchups. I mean, yes, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been atrocious this season. He definitely deserved to be benched, but I mean, we're talking about Cleveland here. And I mean, you're talking about 286 yards allowed through the air on average, 18 passing touchdowns against for the Browns, and QB ratings cumulative against them has been 106.9. So, I mean, right off the bat, you have to love what's going on over there for Fitzpatrick. Probably no Joe Hayden again. Brandon Marshall, Quincy Enunwa should actually do extremely well, especially when they start establishing the ground game early on. As far as Osweiler goes, again, Detroit, atrocious. 18 passing touchdowns allowed. Their pass defense ranks 32nd in the league. And the cumulative QB rating, again, is almost at 118. So you got to love that.
And it's almost like you have to play Ryan Fitz in some format this week because he got benched for a full quarter and a half, and then Geno tore his ACL. So it's almost like, no.
Yeah,
this is where you need to be at this time, despite the fact that you threw 9 interceptions in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think it gives... Fitzpatrick gives the Jets the best chance to win ball games. Don't you agree?
Well, I mean, over Bryce Petty or Geno Smith, absolutely. But, I mean, listen, winning is not what the Jets are about.
Yeah.
I'm a diehard Jets fan. And I'll tell you flat out that they should just tank every game until there's a top QB in an upcoming draft. It's not this year. It's probably not next year either. So I'm happy going 0-32 for the next 2 seasons if it means we can finally rid ourselves of the garbage we've got under center.
And you're totally right about Detroit. You talk about quarterbacks against them being matchup proof. So they give up 4 touchdowns to Luck, 4 touchdowns to Rodgers, 2 guys that are kind of in a tier of their own. But
Case
then they
Keenum
give up
give
Case
touchdowns.
Keenum 4 touchdowns. Then you give Brock Osweiler 3 touchdowns, or sorry, Brian Hoyer 3 touchdowns, 300 yards.
Yeah,
I love this matchup. Absolutely. I mean, Detroit just looks terrible. Terrible.
You know who's looked pretty bad? DeAndre Hopkins. And I think it's fair to blame his lack of connection with Osweiler. He's been overthrowing a lot of balls. He hasn't been accurate. He's targeting him a ton, but he just hasn't been able to get the ball in his hands. Is this same thing, matchup dependent, turns around against Detroit?
Well, I think if you're going to use Osweiler in a GPP, you might as well stack him with Hopkins. I mean, you know, he's obviously the number one guy over there. Detroit ranks 29th against wide receiver ones, giving up almost, you know, 71, 72 yards per game to the position. Now, yeah, Osweiler's a big problem as far as his overthrows. We saw that plenty on Monday night, not to mention the fact that everybody knows that he's going to Hopkins, which is why he's thrown, 7 interceptions on passes thrown just to Hopkins. Lions. So, you know, that's definitely going to be an issue, but I don't know if the Lions are going to have Slay on Hopkins on a regular basis. I don't think they can afford to do that. They just don't have the rest of the secondary is just so bad that, you know, they don't want to get burnt by Will Fuller the entire time either. So I think that this is the week that you're going to use Hopkins. And if you're going to do a GPP, the Osweiler-Hopkins connection is definitely going to work for you.
Anytime the Saints play, we usually try to target that game. I mean, Saints players and players playing against the Saints because they can't seem to stop anyone. I think it's going to be a Christian Michael week this week. But are you looking at anybody in that receiving core? I know Tyler Lockett has been very, very disappointing. You can't really trust this guy in DFS. I mean, can't even really trust him to start him in your season-long leagues. But are you looking at maybe Jermaine Kearse as maybe an option for Russell Wilson? You're shaking your head yes? You're going to roll with Kearse?
That's exactly who I'm looking at. I mean, you look at the numbers for New Orleans, and yeah, their pass defense is atrocious. They will get burned by Christian Michael, but that's definitely going to open things up a little bit more. Russell Wilson is going to want to pass the ball. And I see Kearse being the guy. While they focus on Doug Baldwin, they rank what? Against wide receiver twos, they rank about 21st or 22nd in the league, 27th against receivers coming out of the slot. So if the Seahawks start running Kearse out of the slot a little bit more, which I think they'll do, then I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be able to get one of those sneaky touchdowns. You can never predict when Kearse does it, but this seems like a really nice opportunity for him.
All right, what's going on at running back then? Who are you focusing on this week?
Oh, no. well, I mean, you got to go with Matt Forte again, you know. Play a jet stack this week, folks. The team's atrocious, but it's Cleveland, the only team that gives the Jets a fighting chance to actually do well. So I think the Jets are going to establish the run very heavily with Matt Forte. They did that last week, obviously with Geno Smith under center. But even when they switched back to Fitzpatrick, they were like, we got to stay focused on Forte. Let him get that work in there that he hasn't had early on in the season. So, I mean, I love this matchup. I mean, Cleveland's allowing 140 yards per game on the ground. They've given up 7 touchdowns to running backs. I think this is a must play.
Forte had a monster game last week and then a really good game earlier in the season as well. I believe it was week 2. What do you do with him? Do you think that this kind of production is something that he can sustain? Maybe not at this level, but something in the general vicinity? Or are you looking to sell high if you're in a season long?
Yeah, one more good game and just sell him?
Sell high. Absolutely. If he has a good game this week, those numbers are going to be nicely padded. I mean, somebody in your league is going to be like, well, it was Cleveland. But still, you know, the back-to-back really good performances always turns a lot of fantasy owners onto a guy. And I think that it's definitely going to be a nice sell-high opportunity, especially if the Jets do want to get Bilal Powell more heavily involved.
Ashley was talking about some Detroit Lions backfield injuries, you know, Riddick, Washington. The past couple weeks, Pat Mayo and I have been really kind of talking up Zach Zenner. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he had an opportunity. Last week, you know, get in the goal line touchdown, but just not a lot of work. But if those guys are all injured again, could you look at Zach Zenner in another good match? I mean, we saw what the Denver Broncos backs were able to do against that run defense in Houston.
I was about to hype up Zach Zenner, but now that I know that Mayo's on him, no.
Well, it was because I was making Mayo on him. Like, Mayo's like, nah, Zach Zenner sucks. Like, and then it's like a little bit of talking Zach Zenner up, and he's like, oh, you know, I might be okay. So how do you feel about him?
Well, I love going contrarian against Mayo all the time. So, no, I love Pat. He's a great guy, and he knows his stuff really, really well. But, yeah, Zach Zenner this week, I mean, again, Houston's run defense ranks 26th in the league right now. They're giving up almost 136 yards per game. They've allowed 10 touchdowns. I mean, they're giving up the fourth most yardage overall in the league. So, with no J.J. Watt helping to come up and stuff the middle there, I think Zenner's going to be able to, you know, I mean, listen, I'm not talking about big yardage from him at all. You know, if I'm going to play Zach Zenner in a GPP and take advantage of the pricing matchup right there, then I'm just kind of hoping for like 40 yards and a touchdown, which is easily doable for
him. Yeah, and that would certainly return value.
And 40 yards and a touchdown actually sounds pretty nice for tight ends in terms of return. So Zach Ertz, Tammy, any of those two interest you?
Yeah, actually both of them interest me. I mean, you got to love it. I have a big sleeper on Travis Kelce, but he's a little bit chalky against that Indy pass defense. defense, which ranks terribly against the tight end. But Ertz up against Dallas. Dallas ranks 31st against the tight end position. They're giving up almost 73 yards per game. They've given up the third most fantasy points to the position right now. So I do think that Ertz needs to get a little bit more heavily involved. Philadelphia is looking to increase the amount of targets that their receiving core is seeing, and they're talking about trading for Torrey Smith. I think that this is a perfect opportunity to get Ertz a little bit more heavily involved, and we've seen him with those big games last year and the year before. It's obviously always an injury concern with Ertz, but I think this is a great matchup for him. Tammy, it's a little bit tougher of a matchup against Green Bay, but Green Bay's given up the sixth most points in fantasy to the tight end position there, and let's face it, Matt Ryan loves looking for Jacob Tammy. He hasn't had a tight end of any quality since Tony Gonzalez. He gives him great red zone looks, so I think that Tammy's definitely a guy. Yeah, short yardage, but if he can find that end zone, I mean, he almost had two touchdowns last week, so yeah. I love him.
Heavily targeted in the red zone.
Howard, I have to ask, so I'm someone who plays fantasy a little bit with my heart, so people that have gotten into trouble with some shady situations in the law, maybe not going to be on my team. Travis Kelce, really brutal reality show, dating show, not a huge fan, but for you, I want to know, you know, if you weren't all wifed up and happily married, what would your dating reality show name be? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
I guess, well, I don't know, time spent on the couch eating. Like, if I could find a girl that's good with a comfortable silence sitting next to me on the couch and maybe have, like, you know, a big candy fetish, then I'm all over
and
that.
And has an hour of her time
and
to spare.
And hashtag 1 hour service.
Just an hour.
Just
that's
an
it.
Hour. That's it.
Any more than that.
We got to get out of here. I do like the Kelce play, though. $600 fewer this week compared to last week in a good matchup. Thanks for your time, Howard.
Oh. All right. Thanks so much, guys. Always a pleasure.
Bye, Howard. Oops, had to do it. I mean, put him on the spot. In my head, I'm like, this is going to just trip him up, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah. I'm sure a few solid names came to his head that
that he wasn't television friendly.
Share.
All right, we're going to share our DFS NBA plays on FST coming up next. This is Fantasy Sports Today, NBA DFS time. Chris Meaney, take it away, sir.
I don't even know if the Warriors are going to make the playoffs. Oh, wait, they're not playing tonight, so we'll talk about a couple
of DFS. This doesn't matter.
Guys.
We'll pick that up later.
Of course, they're not going to really get into Westbrook and Harden. They're awesome. They're in wicked matchups. Westbrook plays Philly, Harden plays LA. Great matchups. A little bit concerned that those games could get out of hand, but I think if you're going to roll with one, I would actually roll with Harden. He's a little bit cheaper. But I want to get into some other cheaper plays to allow you to get some of those guys. I want to talk about Tim Frazier just for a second. When he was traded to the Pelicans near the end of the season, played 16 games, averaged 13 points, 7 assists, 4 boards. Not fantastic, but okay. No Drew Holiday. He's dealing with, his wife's
familial
dealing with
issues.
Stuff. And she just had
successful
surgery,
brain surgery
way,
so on her benign tumor. Yeah.
Holiday has no timetable for return. We know he won't play today. So, I mean, even in preseason, he averaged 7 assists per game with 26 minutes. And his last 9 games of last season, at least 8 assists in 8 of the 9. 8 of the 9, he had double-digit points. So you're looking at close to a double-double with this guy. Going to return value. He's dirt cheap. $4,800.
We like dirt cheap.
5 on FanDuel.
Someone else who's pretty inexpensive, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. And we were talking about getting guys on bad teams because there's no one to step in and replace them. They're going to get a ton of run. Hollis-Jefferson was someone who came in and had 5 steals, 3 steals in about half of his games to start last season. Then he went down with an ankle injury, had surgery, came back for a few games at the end of last season. So this year, I talked to him at Summer League, actually, and he is beyond motivated. He's a very energetic, enthusiastic guy. He's looking to actually become a leader on this team, so I expect big things from him tonight, and he's very, very cheap.
Yeah, and that's what we like.
We
again, we like the cheap guys. There's a couple guys on different teams. We'll get to Ibaka in a little bit.
Yep.
But Steven Adams, $4,700 on DK. He's not in a new team, but a new role certainly this year with some of the changes that OKC made. You saw him really come into his own in the playoffs last season. I mean, FanDuel, $4,700. I mean, that is just so cheap. It's awesome. You can get him in there. I expect him close to a double-double. It can help you out with some blocks. And then another guy, Andrew Bogut, playing on a new team in Dallas, too. I expect him to get 25 minutes or so. And he's been really good in the preseason as well. Just another guy who can help you out double-doubles and blocks.
And also, Trevor Booker is someone who's been very cheap, getting a ton of run. He's starting in Brooklyn. He's the low price. Ilyasova, Telovich. Thank you. Yeah. Telovich is someone that you might want to consider. Also, Dwight Powell is someone who's a cheap option. And Serge Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka is $4,800 on FanDuel tonight.
$4,800.
No Bismack Biyombo.
Bismack Biyombo's suspended.
Play.
What were they thinking when they're pricing things?
Got a plan.